General MacArthur said, "The soldier above all others prays for peace. For it is the soldier who must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war." Peace. I would not want you to think that we, because we celebrate our veterans and remember those who've fallen, that we celebrate war. That is not the goal, not the idea. We celebrate peace. And we celebrate the opportunity that we've been afforded, and we reflect and honor those who paid the price. John 15:13. Of course, I don't think we could go through a Memorial Day without saying that. "Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends." And many times that is exactly what happened. Sister Tammy was showing me a photo of the beach at Normandy where someone went in and put markings, a silhouette, for everyone who fell that day, one day. And how remarkable it is that that many died for the cause, for the freedom. And I know that many times there's debate over the purpose and the reasons for war. But at the end of the day, they go because they put the uniform on. They go because they believe in the country, the cause. And so it's difficult, really, and I appreciate everyone who shared this morning, because it is difficult to find, through Scripture, beyond that one verse, it is hard to find something suitable for the occasion. But as I prayed about it and read and I studied on it, I came to Luke chapter 17. In verse 11 it says, "It came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." As they went, they were cleansed. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving Jesus thanks. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Interesting. The whole concept, the whole idea, as we think about our freedom and our liberty, these 10 men, the number 10 represents the totality. That they were men represents the humanity. So though I do absolutely believe this is an actual historical occasion, in a sense of a parable, we understand that this is not just talking about 10 men. This is talking about everybody. That they were lepers, I believe they were absolutely lepers, a medical condition. But in the sense of the parable or the parallel, we understand that since we're talking about all of humanity, the leprosy represents that we are all broken. That we are all scarred. That it is all over us. There is no hiding our sin. Now, these men couldn't hide their sin. They couldn't hide their condition. And their leprosy, by order, they had to remain at a distance from everyone else. Their sin or their condition isolated them. It segregated them. It separated them from everyone else. They had to walk around and they had to sound an alarm and say, "I have leprosy." If they were coming close to a crowd, or there were people approaching them, they had to announce, "I have leprosy." to prevent those other people from being exposed and contracting this disease that they had. There were many rules. In fact, we could go back to the Old Testament, and there were many rules in the medical sense that told them how that they would need to carry themselves and present themselves so that everyone would know that they were ostracized, that they were segregated because of their medical condition. And so, scarred by the past, broken, rejected, and falling apart in the present. How many of you can relate to that? Scarred by the past and falling apart in the present. These 10 men turned their hope toward Jesus. Now, there are many people today that are looking for hope. How many of you remember that old country song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places"? And that's really what we have going on today. Not in a sense of romance, though I understand that's what the song was talking about. There are people who are looking for fulfillment, for peace, for love, for satisfaction, for contentment, for salvation in all the wrong places. Because there is salvation found in no other than Jesus Christ. No doubt these men had taken care to follow all of the prescription, all of the instructions of what to do when that first sore appeared. Maybe you can think back to a time in your life where you were living for God and you were trying to live right, trying to do right. Or maybe you weren't even a Christian, but because of your upbringing, you had certain morals that you tried to live by. And maybe you can go back and think about that first sin. Can you go back and think about in your mind that first time that you recall sinning? And when you did that, you said, "Oh no, I should have never done that." And you had guilt, that sense that you had done wrong. And so you probably swore to yourself or maybe even to God and you said, "I will never do that again." And these lepers had a little spot maybe. And they treated it. But you know what happens with leprosy? The same thing that happens with sin. It grows. And it wasn't long until maybe that little sin that you had committed, that little sin that you had a little bit of guilt about, it grew until you got to a point where you realized you were just covered up. You were drowning in sin. In fact, you had just gotten used to it. It didn't even matter anymore. You didn't have a guilty conscience anymore. To you, it was no longer an issue. But the truth is, it impacted not only you, but everybody around you. Do you know that nobody sins unto himself? "Well, it's my life." Yeah, but your life affects other people. No one of us is an island to ourselves. Falling apart, segregated, isolated, discriminated against. Our sins and failures may be private, but their condition was very open. Jesus, as they turned to Jesus in verse 13, what did He tell them to do? They said in verse 13, "Have mercy on us, Master." In verse 14, what did Jesus tell them to do? "Go show yourselves to the priest." Why did He tell them that? Because according to the Old Testament law and according to their current day laws, that was what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to go whenever they reached a point where they believed that they were healed, they would go to the priest and the priest would declare them healed or not. And so that was the way it was organized. And they had to go report and be declared free of this disease. And then released back into society with no restrictions. So He told them, obey. He told them to live by the Scripture. You see, we come to Jesus and we say, "Lord, have mercy on us." And He saves us. He heals us. He forgives us. And He sends us away with the instruction, live by the Scripture. people say, well, I just don't know. If you ask the Lord to save you and He washes your sins away, does it change your life instantly? Yes, it does. It changes instantly. But how many of you ever can remember at any point in your life, maybe when you were a kid, maybe current day, when you got a shower and then got dirty again? I won't talk about Andrew because he's not here. But, you know, 16 years old, he'll come in, he'll take a shower. Then he'll go out into the shop and work out. And then he'll come back in, and guess what he'll do? Take another shower. Jesus cleansed them. He forgave them. He washed their sins away. But see, there was more to do. Your life can be so much better. Our lives can be transformed by Jesus. Look, our eternity is transformed when we ask His forgiveness. He washes our sins away. He writes our name in the book of life. We have a home in heaven. But how many of you want to wait to enjoy your Christianity until you die? No. You didn't wait till you die to retire. You say, well, I got this retirement. I'm just going to save it till I die. No, that's not what you do. If you can help it, you want to enjoy it now. How many of you still work for a living? How many of you wish you could retire right now? Because you don't want to wait. See, there's a lot of people have Jesus in their lives and their sins are washed away and they have the Holy Spirit of God, but they won't live according to God's plan so they can enjoy it today. You say, well, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but why would you want to wait till you get there to have fun? Why would you want to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy it? Why would you want to wait till you get to heaven to get to know God? I want to get to know Him now, so we got to read His Word. I want to know Jesus today, so we got to read His Word. I want to walk in harmony with God and His plan and His design today. So we need to obey the Scripture. Jesus said to the 10 lepers, live by the Scripture. And as they walked away, 9 of them were cleansed and they said, wow, this is wonderful. Let's go to the priest. And there was one who said, I know what the book says. And I know that He told us to go to the priest. And I'm going to the priest. But not before I praise the Lord for what He's done in my life. Not before I acknowledge what I've been given. Not until I appreciate and express my gratitude for this change that's taken place in my life. How can we expect God's blessing if we live contrary to His plan? I don't know if I can say this and be pastoral, but I'm going to say it anyway. Somebody called me this week and they said, Pastor, I know you're busy, but I really wish we could just get an hour of your time every week. How long have we been together this morning, Brother Andy? So far, about an hour and 45 minutes, right? Guess who's not here? Guys, I don't mind. I said, absolutely. Absolutely, I'll make time. We'll get together. But can I tell you something? If we'd eat right, we wouldn't have to go to the doctor as much. If we changed the oil, we wouldn't have to replace the engine as often. If we'd attend church, if we'd come and get this encouragement and this teaching and live by the Word of God, we wouldn't need all that extra counseling. I'm not against counseling. I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm not trying to talk you out of asking for it. But I'll tell you something. We could solve a lot of problems if we'd come to church and get taught and learn and change then. I can't tell you how many times I've been to church and sometime during that week what I learned in church came into practice. What I learned in church came into need. Somebody will call me and they'll say, Pastor, I got a question. And I'll say, you know what's interesting? We covered that in church last night. We covered that in church Sunday morning. What I'm saying to you is, it's good for us to obey the will of God, to follow the Word of God, but we want our solutions outside of God's plan, and God's solutions don't exist contrary to His plan. This man realized something had happened. He wanted to praise God for it. He didn't change his obedience. He was still going to the priest. And Jesus says, we can tell what he implies. What did he imply? Did he say to him, "Why are you here? I sent you to the priest." Is that what he said? It's not what he said. He implied that the other nine should have turned around and shouted too. Must have been very refined Baptists. This one man turned around and praised God and bowed down and worshiped Jesus. And hallelujah, I'm healed, and what a wonder, and thank you, Jesus. And Jesus said, "Where are the nine?" Now, I was talking to a fellow yesterday, and he was sharing his testimony with me. I don't know how much to share except to say he was quite the ungodly sort. He showed me scars and told me one of the things he loved to do when he was younger is fight. He said, "Man, I'd rather fight than do anything." He said, "We'd go to the bar not to pick up women, but to pick fights." He said, "We'd drink and, you know," and he was a biker, get involved in all kind of other substances and such as that. And he said, "But then by the end of the night, boy, we'd let in and we'd fight." He was telling me all this, and I said, "What changed?" He said, "Well, I went to the doctor because I was having reflux, and they found these lesions on my esophagus, and they did this surgery. And they attached, you know, they had to shorten my esophagus and attach it." And he said, "Something happened in the process and got infection." And he said, "I almost died." He said, "Lay there, I thought I was going to die. I lost 100 pounds in a few weeks." And he said, "I was never interested in church or anything." But he said, "I'd met this guy in jail, and he was a jail minister. That jail minister came to my wife and said, 'Look, I know he doesn't like church, doesn't care about God, but is it okay if we come in and pray with him?' And she said, 'He's dying anyway, what can it hurt?' They came in beside him and they prayed. And he said, when they prayed, he felt just the presence of God and the presence of peace. He didn't know what it was, he just described what he felt. He said, 'But I didn't,' he said, 'didn't think much of it, got better. Everything turned, everything changed after that prayer. Now instead of dying, he was recovering, he was getting better. Got better and went home, and mother-in-law says, let's go to church. Everybody's been praying for you. It'd be good for you to go to church.' He said, 'I go to church and hang on to the rails.' He said, 'I just was, you know, I could feel like God was pushing me to get saved, pushing me to go forward.' He said, 'I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was, but I just felt that I needed to go, and he said, I wouldn't go. He said, I'd cry like a baby, but I wouldn't go. Finally, it got too much. And I went. And I prayed, and God saved me. He washed my sins away. He forgave me. That's what changed it." He realized that that prayer kept him from dying. And if he'd have died in that condition, in that place, he'd have gone to hell because he didn't know Jesus. So that prayer changed things. It was God giving him another opportunity, a second chance. And he got saved, and it changed his life, and it changed his behavior, it changed everything. And after he told me all this story, he said, "I have to be honest with you, I'm not living like I should. I'm not faithful like I should be." He just got finished telling me a remarkable story about how God changed his life. And he's out there walking with the other eight. Where are the nine? One man turned around and said, "Oh, thank you, Lord. You've changed me. You've saved me. How remarkable." And Jesus said, "But there should be nine more." Now I wonder, you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, now's the time from your heart to God's heart to reach out and say, God, I am a sinner. And I know Jesus died on the cross for me, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I give my life to you, and I'm asking you to wash my sins away. God, please, in Jesus' name. Pray. But if you're saved, and God's changed your life, are you one or are you not? Are you living for God, worshiping God, praising God, shouting and dancing and worshiping, or however it is you do? Are you glad God saved you or not? He's given you a second chance. He's given you another opportunity. Brother Dennis said, I woke up this morning and I'm blessed. So did you. Some of you fell back asleep while I was preaching, but you woke up this morning. Because we don't have to be miserable. We don't have to be unhappy. We don't have to find our solutions contrary to God's will. You won't find them because they don't exist. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Listen.